Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 it's Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's January 28th, 2014, and I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We got a great show tonight. We got Augie Carton from Carton Brewing in New Jersey, John Lubbaum from Be United Importers with a special guest from a new Spanish brewery, David, and Dave Broderick, my buddy, Blind Tiger, and Don from Vermont.
Hey,
how are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
You know, I'm just coming out of the gate. I just want to talk to you because I haven't seen you in a while. And I wanted to give a special intro. First of all, why do I like beer? Remember, there's the Tom T. Hall song, I Like Beer, It Makes Me a Jolly Good Fellow.
I miss that song.
I know, and last night I drank whiskey for Burns Night, and I'm feeling it today. I think there's definitely a reason why I like beer, and I find beer to be a good part of a good life. And
easier to bounce back from.
Yeah, so I was thinking we should talk about that. We've got some... our friend David Ruiz from Art Cerveceros in Spain. You've got like a spiritual message. You know, you're interested in things like the environment, and you revived an old farmhouse. And Augie too, you're kind of like the prophet of beer, at least in New Jersey.
He is a very religious person, I've always found.
Yeah, and I found you just had a blog. You wrote about Blind Tiger when it only had coffee.
Well, in between one tiger and the other, there was the coffee tiger, and
that was my spiritual experience.
It was very, very, very unsatisfactory.
So let's talk about so I like beer. That's a great song, but why do I like beer? Why do I like beer more than whiskey? You know, what's so special about beer that makes me feel good and it's good for the community? We should go around the room. That's my question.
Well, Jimmy, it's John from Be United. I personally love whiskey. I do a lot of whiskey education stuff. One thing, you know, whiskey is essentially the alcohol taken out of beer. So you're losing the carbohydrates that help you deal with the alcohol. You're losing the yeast that helps you deal with the alcohol. You're losing the water that helps you deal with the alcohol. But so it sort of does lend itself to a rougher second day.
Yeah, and I love whiskey. And I might start, actually, up in Vermont when I'm sitting in the cabin, especially in winter and sitting in front of the fire, I'll actually start. You know, after a day at work and everything, I'll have a whiskey to start. And then I switch to beer for the rest of the evening because I need to get up and do it again the next day.
You know, my philosophy on that's always the quantity of alcohol. If you start from something with something that has a little bit of alcohol and then move to a similar liquid with way more alcohol, you sort of lose proportion. So why not start with the stronger stuff and work your way down?
Exactly. I like that way better.
What is it about beer, Dave? There's something about beer that it somehow makes me feel good. It's good for the community.
You know, it's partly the flavor profile and something about those hops that make you feel better about things. There's a lot of things in there that are designed to make you feel better.
Well, I think that Dave Ruiz from Art Cerveceros has something to say about that, because I was really inspired when I guess between thinking about how my head hurt from not drinking beer and to reading his little blurb, it says, their beers are the results of their philosophies, which is kind of neat. Designed to explain and promote the world of beer from the Spanish cultural side, revive an iconic old farmhouse in the agricultural region of Valls, and promote an environmentally friendly way of doing business. Yeah. So, David, tell us about beer and why you love beer.
Well, I've been in a Blind Tiger 1 hour ago, and I've seen a lot of people joking and laughing and playing around the beers. For me, beer is a social drink. Maybe the whiskey isn't, but
it is for a little while. But then.
Yeah, it's something that you drink and you compare and you do a social drinking. In the case of Art Cerveceros, what we are trying to do is to make beers, trying to use local ingredients, and as far as we don't have a micro maltery near us, what we do is to use different ingredients like grains, like water, and like some plants to give our beers something Catalan, something different from American IPA and those beers. Because we think that in that way we promote local community, local farmers, and we give something to the shops and to the restaurants different, wherever this beer arrives. Can be the United States or Europe.
Yeah, we were talking about that today. that, you know, people that come into New York, they want to drink, you know, a lot of New York beer. And it's nice to have, wherever you go, it's nice to have some things that are really from that area. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of the beer tourists and, or just people, tourists in general, are looking for that now, like that local experience.
This is not happening in Catalonia, in Barcelona.
It's not happening?
No.
But you're going to make it happen.
Yeah, of course. We're trying to make it happen. What happens there is where you go to a beer bar with 10 taps, 80% or 90% is a beer from abroad, and only 10% or 20% is local beer. The first thing I've learned from Brooklyn, where I land yesterday, is that local beers are heroes, and I really like it, and it's
inspiring.
That's our way.
Well, that's a good one, John. What's the first beer that we're drinking?
Well, the first beer we have from Art Service Sears is the Toc de Spilta. I mean, I can certainly tell you a little bit about it, but maybe I'll just pass the mic back to the brewmaster himself.
Mm-hmm. Toc de Spilta is the first approach of using local ingredients. This is a kind of Weizen beer, and it uses 25% of spelt, not malted spelt, local, organic, non-malted spelt, and the rest of the ingredients are organic too. And this spelt gives the beer something special, like, something...
Well, speaking for myself, I definitely get the sort of Weizen origins of this beer, but the quality of the grain character and the flavor is just incredibly soft and incredibly has a lot of integrity to it and is surprisingly long. I mean, this is a beer that I would think would be very quick and very nourishing and very quenching, but just the flavor goes on and on and on and really is quite reflective. It's amazing that there's no spices in this.
Well, it's beautiful that you are committed to using local ingredients, and we're going to talk more about that later because more people in New York are doing the same.
Yeah,
but I can taste it. I mean, it's definitely like just the spelt and the wheat. It's the character of the beer. You know, the grain comes through.
Yeah,
you know, it's pure. It's like a kind of grain tea. You know,
mm-hmm.
And Augie, one of our New York area brewers from New Jersey. Augie, too, you know, this value of beer. Well, first of all, what do you think about this? It's like kind of a local grain Spanish.
Actually, I liked it a lot. I thought there's a something in the spelt that spoke to me like saffron, but like in a well-made saffron broth, and you were talking about. Like the body's not monster, but it does stay there for kind of ever like a saffron muscle thing would, and that's what I was picking out before you identified it as spelt. I think it's a very cool beer. You know, if going to your conversation about why beer... I like to preach that it's just cuisine and there is no food in beer or food in wine or anything else. It's just cuisine and it has its part. And you come from like the definitive cuisine place in the world right now. So if everybody over there isn't catching beer up to that food, good on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've been over there eating a bunch and that's what you should do. You know what I mean? That's, mm-hmm. They need you. That's what I'd say.
What about up in Vermont, Dave? You're farming a little bit. You know, you're hanging out with young farmers and brewers and things. And I can relate to David. You know, what he's talking about from Catalonia. And what do you think? I'm trying to get some big concepts up, but I've already heard things like the social drink and it is natural and local brewers are heroes. It's kind of some cool stuff.
I think that there's definitely a lot of that, not just in Vermont, but all the rural areas are really looking to kind of establish their own way of expressing where they're from, you know, whether it's beer, food, whatever, animals that they're raising. They really want to get that that terroir in whatever they're doing. And so I think that it's definitely a big part of Vermont. I mean, all the friends that I hang out with are all kind of looking for their way of expressing themselves from that place that they're in.
That's beautiful. John, you know, you've brought so many great brewers from different countries here to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. And tell us your experience a little bit more about this group, the Art Servicers.
Sure, absolutely. I have a couple things to say. One, Dave, to what you were just saying, you know, for me, the fundamental difference between wine and beer is that wine is agriculture and beer is cooking. You know, if you're making wine, it's dependent on what your terroir is, what your soil is, what your weather is, what your climate is, what grapes can you grow, and what will those grapes taste like. Beer is cooking. Beer is, I'm taking the best ingredients from all over the world and crafting something the same way a master chef would. I had the great pleasure of going to a beer festival in Barcelona, actually during Superstorm Sandy back, almost a year and a half ago now. And in addition
that's,
to going
that's
to
where you got to be for Hurricane Sandy.
I was actually stranded for a week in Europe while my pregnant wife was without power in Brooklyn, so it wasn't the best, but there are worse ways to spend a vacation. But I got
sounds
to
like you planned it, John.
Absolutely. I did get to visit Art Serviceurs in addition to a number of different breweries. We've had our SB United, you know, beer importers sort of looking around the world for the most exciting and inventive things. We'd had our eye on Spain for a while, as Spain is starting to develop, and had not been terribly excited about what was coming out of it. But this trip, we found a couple of really spectacular breweries, including Art Serviceurs. I think that in addition to using local ingredients and sort of being very tied into the agriculture and the gastronomy of their area, their beers reflect have a real Catalan character to them. They reflect Catalan cuisine in a way that speaks to sort of the craft and the culture of the area, not just the ingredients being grown there. And I really think that David's beers are extraordinary.
Great.
All right. Hey, let's try the other one, too. Here you go. I know you brought two beers.
Yeah, we have two beers from Art Serviceurs currently available in the States, with more to come very soon. The next beer, I thought I was pronouncing correctly, but I've been proven wrong today. It's Cora?
Cora.
Cora. There you go.
It is copper.
Which means copper, in a reference to the color. But David, tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's a winter ale, and we use a brand from North Scotland, which is Myrica Gale, which is like a kind of heather. And we use it because we wanted to create a beer which was similar to the beers, how the beers could be before adopting hops to conservate them. And they use in the Groot, they use this plant, and as it was a winter ale, we wanted to use some local ingredient again. Well, it's not a local ingredient, but it's an ingredient that we use a lot in winter and in the in Noel, in
Christmas,
in Christmas time in Catalonia, which is nutmeg.
We make nutmeg.
Some,
that's
yeah. We make some pasta with nutmegs. And we wanted to mix the nutmeg and the Myrica Gale to brew this beer. This is a very aromatic beer. It's an 8.3 grade alcohol.
Is there are there any hops in this at all?
Yeah,
there's some hops.
Yeah. There are some hops. Only one hop, I think. It's a Tennang. And but the character. It's given by the nutmeg and the Myrica Gale.
It's really nice.
Beautiful.
It's very warm.
It's very warming, that's for sure.
Cheers to our Arts Serviceurs from Catalonia. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. We'll talk more about all good things. Cheers to everybody. All right.
You're listening to Leaving by Dead Stars on heritageradionetwork.org.
So you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Tuesday. It's a January.
It's always Tuesday, Jimmy. It's always Tuesday.
Roberta's in Bushwick. I'm starving. I'm waiting for, you know, the next beer that Augie brought from Carton. But we got the very cool guests in it. Dave Broderick, John Lundbaum, Augie Carton, some regulars. But Dave from Arts Cerveceria in Catalonia. We're tasting some of his beers, like some local ingredients from Spain. And I'm going to have Augie and Dave. We're going to ask some serious questions. We're going to put them on the spot. This is like kind of like the ask the brewer question time.
So my question is, when you're formulating, when you decide to do a new beer, how do you start? You know, do you start with some ingredient that you want to work with, or do you have an idea, an overall idea for some kind of flavor profile you're looking for, or where do you begin, or is it always different?
We always begin with the consumer. And after that, we follow with ingredients. Always trying to give something special through the ingredients, through local ingredients.
That's so. So when you say you start with a consumer, you get feedback from people saying,
yeah,
"We're looking for something like what?" And what do they say to you? Give us an example.
Sometimes we look abroad, and we see what's happened, not in Spain, but in the States or in Norway. And then we ask, we speak a lot with our customers, a lot, and they give bad news and good news, and we follow what they do and what they tell us, and then when we decide to make a good a new recipe, we always first get in touch with the customers, and then always do something new, do something special. Make something special, and of course try to use local ingredients. For example, now we are testing a new hoppy pilsner because our customers say that for summer it's a very, very good beer, but we're gonna do it with thinking of local ingredients and something special. But the customer is very important.
All right.
For us.
Augie, let's ask your brewer question.
Well, actually, I like sticking on the terroir topic, but per your brewery, when we talk about what we do, I'm lucky enough to make beer in the town I grew up in, that my dad grew up in, that his dad grew up in New Jersey. And the thing we're most careful about not to step on is our water. We think it's very drinkable and therefore is primary to why our beers, big or small, are drinkable. And I'm wondering, you know, a lot of guys treat water, and when you're going for local, how do you handle your water per se? What do you do to it?
Good question.
Yeah, we use normal water, normal kettle and water, but we treat it. But what we're trying to do is to put some thermal, some spring water in our beers.
Like high mineral content water?
It's thermal water.
Okay.
We have some thermal water sources nearby. One is in Caldas de Montbui and the other is in La Garriga,
mm-hmm.
as you might know. And they are very specific water.
Yeah.
I think through Be United we are going to bring some spring, some thermal.
So John, tell us about the thermal water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I'm sort of jumping at the, chomping at the bit to get in here. when I first met David in 2012, one beer he told me about was this beer he had made with 100% untreated thermal water from a hot spring. And unfortunately, he made, what was it, 1,000 bottles of it, or some insanely small amount of beer. And, oh, if only I could find some, you'd love it. And I managed to, my one day actually in Barcelona was a Sunday.
That's kind of like that great idea I had.
You know, yeah, exactly. And essentially nothing in Barcelona is open on a Sunday. But I did find one beer store, which is sort of one of the great beer stores of Barcelona, that happened to be open and happened to have a bottle left. So I managed to bring a bottle. I mean, God, I brought probably 60 bottles back in my suitcase that trip, but brought one back that we could taste as a company, and it was truly extraordinary. I mean, you want, as I said before, you know, beer is cooking, but you want to get some terroir in the beer, use the insanely specific thermal water that...
So what's the thermal water like? I mean, what? How do you describe it?
I can't speak to the water. David could tell you more. I can tell you more about the beer, but again, I feel the urge just to pass the mic back to the brewmaster.
Well, this water has a lot of fluor. And it's always something difficult to manage with the beer. But it gives some salty taste that together with a smoky malted grain gives something interesting.
And what was the name of the thermal beer that you made?
It's called Calderina because the town where the source is called Caldas.
Great. And Og, on the, we just had a winter ale from Spain. Og, you brought a winter ale also. From
yeah, I brought Decoy along. Decoy
is. Have a refill?
Sure, please. Decoy is.
David, did you get some?
Not yet, because I'm in line behind you.
Tell us the beer, and then also what like this is like a special growler that you brought us.
So Decoy is our winter warmer. Its basic concept is we use the five spices Daniel Hume uses on his duck at his restaurant 11 Madison Park on kind of an American version of a Belgian quad because it's a figgy thing. The duck's made with figs, so that's how we got there. And it's 12%. It's one that I really like to age. So for those certain ones we like to age, we have this half growler we sell in the brewery. And to make it last beyond growler capacity, we counter pressure fill it, cap it, and wax it. Because being a wine guy, too, I'm kind of afraid of corks. I know they're popular, but corks ruin a lot of things, and I get TCA in beer a lot. We like caps. So that's what you got there is a wax cap from December.
It's really smooth. It's over 12%?
It's 12.
Wow. Yeah, I'd never put this at 12%.
No, yeah, that's that drinkability.
Shame on you.
No,
shame
it's our water.
But so just on the side right now, you're doing that. You're capping and wax topping these growlers.
We do a small beers. Amount of anything I think will last in a cellar. So you're not going to get boat. Or
so how many of these Decoy do you have left, and how long are you going to hold them for?
I probably have a case left. I think we made 5 cases of them, and I've got a case of my own in my cellar for, you know, a Blind Tiger event 10 years from now.
Oh, that's good. So how do you, like, this is very drinkable right now. How do you think this is going to age?
While you're drinking, you'll get like a charcoal thing very high in the malts. That should fall down a little. The spices are 5 spices, and we really tried to bring them together. One of those counts as honey. It's lavender, nutmeg, Sichuan peppercorn. So they'll become a flavor altogether and not 5 things you can pick out. And the 12%, I mean, it'll last forever. There's no real hop in there to go out. That's, you know, I think it'll integrate a little more than it is. But keep in mind, we strive for integration on release. It just, there's things that will correct with time.
Right.
You know, Og, you've been a great figure. I mean, first, not of all a New Jersey beer, but, you know, you're in New York City, and, you know, you have your own brewery, and you represent a lot of things. But what I'm interested in with David is that he's got, like, a mission statement almost. Now, you guys are, like, your dream was you and Jesse were homebrewing and perfecting recipes, and you opened a brewery. And
there's
we the love
that mission statement.
You got a mission statement too?
Well, of course.
Jimmy, you're like the only person that doesn't have one. Okay?
It's because it changes all the time. Like last night I had whiskey, and now my mission statement is to find why I love beer so much.
Exactly.
So it says what? Carton Brewing, it's what? Having decided they had something to contribute to the very exciting conversation going on in craft brewing, you guys made a brewery. That's pretty awesome. But
we think it's about flavor creation.
I still want to go back to David because he's the most unique guy we've had in a long time. And that, you know, he's like the spiritual prophet guy who's like, loves his beer in it. It said, I've got these great notes from Justin Kennedy, one of our producers, but it says, the Brewer's Art Project was the materialization of an idea born in 2006 from after more than 15 years of promoting beer culture. Is that what you were doing? Like, yeah. Let's go to the back. How did you get started doing this? You were promoting beer?
We started in at the university.
Are you a professor?
No, I'm not, but our brewer is.
But you feel you kind of seem like a guy from university.
Me?
Either like a priest or a professor.
You're calling him a professor.
No.
He has a sweater before. And he has the old school. He's got patches on his elbows. And
thank you.
But you're really, he's really a kind of throwback. You know, he's like, you're are you a scientist?
No.
Are you an artist?
An academic?
Something.
Before starting something, the most important is to promote the culture. In Spain, we have four companies that dominate the market. 99% of the brew of the beers that are sold in Spain is industrial beer. So when we started, we first traveled to Great Britain and then to Italy and then to Belgium, and we saw that in those countries beer was at the same level as wine. And we loved beer. And what we do, what we did was to start brewing our own beer in our houses, and then make some to explain the how to make beer your own, and to explain how many how. All the culture of the beer that we didn't have in Spain, and after that we wrote a book, which is called "How to Make Beer in Your House," how to homebrew, and it was the first book written in the Spanish language to brew your own beer, and after that we decided to.
So you're a homebrewer.
Yeah.
No, let's. Tell me, and do you speak Spanish or Catalan?
Catalan.
In Catalan, how do you say homebrew?
Cerveza casolana.
I like that. And how do you pronounce the name of your brewery in Catalan?
Art Cervezes.
All right.
I love hearing he speaks Catalan.
I mean, that's really his language.
It's so rare that you get to speak it.
David, you do that so well.
Yeah. You know, we had a show where we had a guy speak in Czech, and we've had a couple other people speak in their own language. We had a German show, and we're not going to go into Catalan show right now, but it's something that, you know, as we're talking on the air and our listeners, I'm going to explain that this guy's passion has a lot to say. And I just realized he was saying that he was a homebrewer.
You know, and Jimmy, you're talking about sort of Catalan culture. Spain, you know, it's finally having the beer revolution that we've been expecting from it for 5 or 6 years, and most of the breweries are opening up in Catalonia. Sort of, there's something about the Catalan cultural personality that's fiercely independent and very proud and very invested in its culture, and I think that's really coming through in their wanting to establish new breweries and establish a brewing culture and a personality. Mm. I mean, David, is that something that you see in Spain, that Catalonia is sort of moving this in the right direction?
Yeah. Maybe there are many big or bigger breweries in the other parts of Spain, but the most small and interesting breweries are in Catalonia.
No, it's definitely, it's the great food. I mean, I'm going to, full disclosure, the first cookbook I ever read and cook from when I had my first restaurant, it was called Catalonian Cuisine by a great American, Coleman Andrews, who was the first editor of Savoir magazine, and he's Daily Mail now. But that he lived in Catalonia when he was a young man, and he was inspired by the cuisine. And when I first started cooking, I would make like, you have so many cool things. There's like these flat pizza doughs that you make, and in the spring you do spring onions and all these things. So, you know, tell us about some of the cuisine that you like, because it sounds like that if you're really Catalan, and as Augie was saying, that food is important to you as beer, right? Because your beer tastes like food. Like that spelt, the first beer was spelt, I could taste grain, and the second one it was like the nutmeg. So it's like I'm drinking food.
Yeah, it's like it has a savory quality to it.
as John said, to make a good beer is to cook. And we have a very cooking culture in Catalonia. We have one of the best restaurants in the world, which is
Can't remember the first.
It's closed now.
That's why I went twice.
But
I just want the like the spring onions that are like kind of charcoal cooked.
But apart from the
what is it called, Castle
from the start, from the Michelin star, you have a lot of restaurants, local restaurants.
Arzak. Conroca Arzak.
Arzak is in the north. Is in the vast country. Yeah, it's good too. Yeah.
So you guys are very proud of your culture as well, which is beautiful. And Augie, what's the next beer that you poured for us?
So this is our current release. We put it out last week. It's called Regular Coffee. It's kind of a joke. I drink black coffee. Anybody that does and lives in New Jersey knows that when you accidentally say to somebody that you want your coffee regular, you get milk two sugars. And since we didn't want to just make another coffee stout or whatever, because that's not what we do, we came up with the idea for this is another 12%, a 12% cream ale with some dextrose in it. And we worked with a local coffee roaster to design kind of a pretty version of an acidic, you know, sour, crappy coffee. And then we put that into our beer and made regular coffee beer.
You know, it's the second recipe I read recently about putting dextrose in your beer. But dextrose, what's that?
Like, but you love dextrose in your beer. Pliny has it. People use it all the time for different reasons. We used it here to remain sweet. So the reason we got to 12 is because that's when the yeast died. We just wanted to have sugar left over. So we took it to about 10 and then pushed it because we wanted sugar left and just let the yeast kill itself.
This is really nice, too. I mean, I just like the way the coffee's in it.
And did I hear you correctly? You're actually adding the finished coffee?
So we double cold brew, and we did about a half gallon for every 20 gallons to get to where we wanted to be, because we didn't want to affect the color. It's a golden beer, right? We did not want this to be mistaken for anything other than a cream ale.
That's so interesting. So you're not going for, say, the tannins or the bean flavor. Like, no. You want this to be a effing coffee beer.
I want this to be, if you walk into a diner or a lunch counter anywhere in New Jersey and you ask for a pork leg and cheese and a coffee, and they say, how do you want your coffee? You say regular. They're going to hand you a paper cup of coffee that is a terrible coffee that's had some milk and sugar added.
And is God willing 12%.
Yeah, and it's 12%. And cold and yellow.
It does taste like a regular coffee.
That's its job. All right. That's its job.
Hey, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about special things about beer and on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Woo. Go for it.
Woo!
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
You are listening to Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. All right, we've got Catalonia, Spain, New Jersey, Vermont, and John Lumbaum from Be United.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, for David and it's Ben, right?
Yeah.
Yep, from Spain. David, Dave Brodwick has a question for you guys.
Dave wants to ask David, what role does beer play in at the Catalonian table? And I know you've already said that you know it's a small part of the Catalonian beer market, but obviously it's growing. So, where is it now in terms of now that you've got some product and you're getting it out there? Where do you see it in terms of the Catalonian table? What role does it play?
Ben, you want to grab that one?
Sure, sure.
So, Ben, who are you?
I am actually. We work together. I'm also a brewer for Art Serviceres, and I also have my own company, which is Kroot, and it's a beer company as well out of Catalonia. I am originally from California. I moved to Barcelona almost 10 years back. Lo and behold, I have a beer company, and here we are.
Lo and behold, you speak really good English, too.
That's pretty cool.
So I think the role of beer in Catalonia is certainly, at the beer table, is coming more to light, especially with food pairings, with the restaurant with Ferran Adrià, who is now, well, the restaurant El Bulli that is now closed, that was booked for like 2 years straight. He had also collaborated with one of the biggest producers of beer in Spain to make a special beer, bringing further to light that beer can be an exquisite product, something that can be paired with food. So I think now it's uncharted territory. People are starting to discover for themselves how beer can be paired with things. And certainly the beer producers are doing their part in communicating with the public to be able to...
Ben, let me say, so you're from California.
Yes.
And you live in Catalonia.
Yes.
So, is there a beer scene in Catalonia?
Absolutely.
And how would you describe that as an American?
Well,
I know you guys have a beer festival in June, right?
No, April.
Yeah. Okay.
People love to drink, but people are a little bit more cautious to experiment. So it's a slow growing. It's a slow growing thing, but every year people are buying new fermenters, new companies are opening up. So we definitely see that there is a consuming market, and people are now ready to try.
You know, our friends Johnny and Jessica have Iberian Beer United. So they're Americans who are bringing in small amounts of Spanish beers. One of the breweries they import is called Lanjub. Do you know that?
Yes, I do.
And that's in Catalonia too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you say about Lanjub? That's another Catalonian brewery.
I know them perfectly. They are producing really good beers. In my opinion, the best one is a stout. But they are producing two...
The Lanjub, the Juliet?
Stout. Juliet is a stout.
Yeah, we love that beer. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. And
they're good customers of Blind Tiger, too.
Yeah.
Johnny and Jessica.
I know it.
I stay with them when I come down, so I can't say anything.
Best beer.
And they are producing something with local hops, too. I think it's a single hop called... I don't remember the name, but it's... Well, they have a really good beer. And they are very nice people.
You know, it's so great that you guys came. So John, they're here... From Spain, and how long are they here? And are they visiting? What cities are they visiting? And are you guys doing with them?
They're here for the week. They're going to be spending some time in the New York market. Are you guys heading to Philadelphia this trip, or not Philadelphia? Or we don't know. I think it's mostly New York and Connecticut.
Yeah. I know there's after the show tonight. There's a tasting at Jimmy's number 43.
Jimmy's 43, you say?
The two beers we had on air. What are the two beers again, John?
The Art Service Series Torque de Spelta, and again, I'm going to pronounce it poorly. Cora.
Cora.
And we have plates of jamón and queso. It's really our locally made ham and some New York cheeses.
So now I know where we're going after the show.
7 o'clock tonight, Jimmy's number 43.
And, you know, if the people out there in podcast or internet radio land are interested in learning more about Art Serviceres, I mean, the easiest thing I could recommend for them to do is go to beunitedint.com, where we have information about
have
the brewery
so
and links to the website.
So many great breweries. And, you know,
thank you.
We're definitely due to talk more about this stuff. But let's circle back to New York City right now. So with Augie, again, it's always great having you on.
Thank
and you have a lot of insight. I didn't realize you were such like a food snob.
I
thought of you as a
snob. Come on. I can tell you where to get the best pancakes and cheeseburgers, too. I just really
Where
care
do we
about
get the best pancakes and cheeseburgers?
The best pancakes actually are probably out of business right now because of Sandy, but it was up in Woodstock, New York, a place called Sweet Sue's. Hands down. Wow. Trust me. In town, it's What's-His-Name's Bakery.
City like, Bakery?
I really wish that was the name of the
No, no, but it's not. But it's what's his name? Somebody's Bakery. It's Lower East Side off of, I think, Houston. But anyway, those are the best.
I need a boat beer right now.
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. Just so you brought your belt. Like, tell Thank us you. Back. So one more thing. And then what's your? Where's your favorite food and beer pairing place in New York?
Well, right now you can go to Madison Park and get Decoy with the duck it's modeled on. So hard to beat that.
That sounds tremendous. Actually, it's funny. 11 Madison Park is a spectacular customer of B-United Imports. We once got 6 bottles for the U.S. of a rare Brasserie Avapour beer and sent them 2. And they sold them in one night.
Yeah, well,
and I said they weren't charging enough, and they said, oh, we were charging.
Let's say, since we're talking about a bully and stuff, in New York City, like the top expensive restaurants, who are the ones that are really buying all your specialty beers, John?
I mean, what's the polite answer? I love all my children equally.
but 11 Madison.
In all fairness, I think that 11 Madison Park has the best beer list and the deepest beer list of any fine dining restaurant in the U.S. But you know, fair enough, places like Gramercy Tavern have a wonderful vintage list and are wonderful customers. And then once you start talking about specific beer bars, I mean, the list is practically endless.
But so that's the secret part, because we're all beer bar guys. We're goodbrewseal.com and all that stuff. But Blind Tiger, Jimmy's number 43. But really, there's this part of New York City that is the fine dining restaurants.
I don't think it's possible to open up a fine dining restaurant in New York without giving serious consideration to the beer list. And I think that is one of the few ways in which New York is a gem in the beer world. I mean, you have Philadelphia, you have Chicago, you have D.C., which are spectacular beer towns and are developing, or if not have, spectacular fine dining experiences. But New York City, you cannot open a restaurant that has any chance of a Michelin star without giving serious consideration to the beer list, and I really appreciate
Augie,
that.
And Augie, so you also, what are some of the like restaurant accounts that you have, like top places?
Just
a few of the reasons, because many of our listeners are listening from around the country. They'd like to know where would they go if they really want to get a really good meal with a beer in
the
New
only
City.
Preface I'm going to make is how small we are. Really just a Jersey brewery, but everybody knows that New York and Philly are just suburbs of Red Bank. And we feel obliged to
even that joke. You have to
take care of our two neighbors.
We really,
no, I don't need
and
to
we appreciate it.
That's nice of us. But anyway, so we send a very small amount here, and we try to keep it at places that do well. I know you know of the little Wisco group. I'm good friends with them. I think they do the right kind of New York
dining. Just tell us one or two of those.
So that's Perla, Jeffries, Joseph Leonard. Those guys are just doing the right kind of Tuesday, Wednesday.
West Village, yeah. Kind of New York City.
But, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday dinner. You're not putting on a tie. You don't care. It's loud. You can have a good time. But the food is seriously awesome, and they care about it. Terroir, Paul Greco's places are great.
Yeah, we were over at Hearth this morning. Hearth this morning. Sorry.
But, you know, those guys, and you know, we're talking about the blog where I wrote about Tiger 6 years ago, and I wrote, one night for my anniversary dinner, we went in, and Paul's wine list had 4 pages on Saisons. So we went in for our anniversary dinner to drink wine and had 12 Saisons instead because he'd convinced us with his list. So it's always been something people take seriously. You just got to – Mama Fuku does a beer with Kelly Taylor that's great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the Fuku beer. Kelso Fuku, yeah. That's a great beer.
Yeah, but that's Kelly and Chang and, you know, Chang team.
Awesome. High five for everyone for coming on. Dave, a quick wrap-up with you and me. So you're coming – this is a good time from Vermont and New York. So for New York City Brewers Choice, our event, February 26th in the Wythe Hotel, you're bringing down some Vermont guys. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, I was up at – I went up to Burlington, and then all of a sudden my partners wanted to go to Prohibition Pig, which is in Waterbury, which is where alchemist Teddy Topper comes from. And they actually have it on draft. It's one – there's only 2 places in the state that have it on draft. And so we were there, and I was talking to Chad, the owner, and I told him about Brewer's Choice, and I said, oh, you know, you should, because he's starting a brewery. He just got his permits, his licensing's all in place.
Is it in the restaurant
and
pub?
And it's down in the basement, and he's got the old Lawson's Finest, Sean's original draft brewing system. It's a one barrel. And so he's brewing a pale ale that's already like super highly rated, and a saison that he did with Brian Strumke from Stillwater. So I was like, why don't you come down and you can pour at the Blind Tiger table. And so that's what we're going to do.
That's awesome. And Chef Tommy, he's going to have something.
Tommy's always got something.
I'll give the pitch. So this is our fourth year doing New York City Brewer's Choice. And the special feature this year is that even last year, Scott Ficarra from Captain Lawrence was the keynote speaker. This year, it's Jeff O'Neill from Peekskill. The last 2 years, it's been predominantly a New York State brewery event. We have a couple out-of-state guys. We have White Birch from New Hampshire, Allagash, Carton,
Wigogi.
And we're really psyched to have you guys. But this year, the key feature is that many of the breweries are actually making special beers, kind of like they do in Catalonia, with a New York State grain that has been malted. And it's a challenge. And there's some guys like Omegang and Empire and Kelso who are making like these huge batches of New York State beer that they're going to be selling all week. And I would just tell you, if you really want to know about New York beer, go to New York City Brewer's Choice.
And it's at a new location, which I think that's really great to try something new at the Wythe Hotel. Well,
you know, we want the Wythe Hotel has been doing some really cool things, the Food Book Fair, a lot of stuff. It's really if you say Wythe Hotel, you think good food, good drink, and it's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And we're really proud to have the event there. So,
you know, Jimmy, you mentioned Jeff O'Neill and Peekskill. I think I saw something on social media about the beer he's making for the event.
Yeah, it's becoming a big deal that each of these brewers is actually going to be a governor's cup type thing. We have some New York State officials, and we're going to actually give awards to who's making the best beer with New York State ingredients. It's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah. So high five to everybody. This is like a cool group. But mostly I'm inspired. I think from this show tonight, I learned from David Ruiz of Art Cerveceros in Catalonia, Spain, that, you know, things about what's important about beer. We asked, you know, why do I like beer so much more than whiskey? You said it's a social drink. And from what you said about the ingredients, it is natural. It can be natural. The local brewers are heroes, which is what we're seeing happen all the time. And from Carton to Barrier to, you know,
Augie's my hair.
Everybody, yeah. Aww. And local ingredients is really the key thing. And we'll give a big shout out to Grow NYC, who's pushed the Regional Grains Project. They're getting farmers upstate to grow traditional grains that can be good for bread and beer. So, Dave, we're going to have a fun month in New York City with New York City Beer. I'll tell you.
It's always like, it's one of my favorite events of the year anywhere. And I know I'm biased, but it's just, with all the brewers and owners there pouring and all the food, it's an amazing thing.
I can actually tell you, we avoid beer fests. Like, we don't do them. We don't do our own town's one. And we think this one's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's not really a fest, though. That's a problem.
Yeah.
It's an awesome place with 25 industry, media, VIP.
But we very much go out of our way to make sure this one happens. And we hate those things.
But if you're in New York February 26th, it's New York City Brewer's Choice. It's actually almost sold out. There's probably only a couple hundred tickets left, and it's a very intimate affair. Guys, let's go around. John, just give us a quick sign out. Tell us about your special guest from Spain.
Yeah, hey, John from Be United. Our special guest tonight was David Rios from Art Cerveceros, just outside of Barcelona. Spectacular new Catalan brewery.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a great show. We got kind of deep, and it was so much fun talking to David. And to everybody, check out New York City Beer Week. A lot of good things are happening. And we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. Hey, thanks to everybody. We've got a great team out there. I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com. And as always, the Good Brew Seal, which is our guys like Blind Tiger and Jimmy's Number 43. You can always find us on Twitter at beer_sessions. I know Maggie's out there tonight. She's tweeting away at beer_sessions. Thanks again. Thanks for joining me. Dave, John, David, Ben, Augie, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carbone. I got through this night. Too much whiskey last night. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Maggie Seiden, Justin Kennedy, engineer tonight, Evan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Cheers.
Carton Boat Beer.
Bye-bye. Woo.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.